So a few years ago, my wife and I, we took this trip to Florida. Now at the time, we honestly had almost no money. And we had these friends though, that they had this family vacation home in Florida right on the beach. And so when they invited us to come with them, we jumped at the opportunity. And it wasn't easy getting there. We had to drive through the night plus a flight, but we felt like, you know what, this is worth it. And we get to this beach house, and I'm kidding you not, this thing was right on the beach. You look out the window, ocean. It was so nice. So we get inside this house, we're all so excited to be there. And then we all start to feel this like weird tickling feeling. And we all begin to realize the place is infested with fleas. Apparently, the family members who own that home have these big dogs that they bring with them, and those dogs can bring in these fleas from the sand on the beach. And so the place had fleas everywhere. And so we all grabbed our luggage quick and put it back in our vehicles, and we said, okay, we got to figure out something. Well, we said, we've got to bug bomb this place. And so we went to the local Walmart, we got a bunch of bug bombs, and we just set them off inside this beach house. But you got to let those things fumigate. And so for that night, we actually had to find a place to sleep. And we didn't want to spend a lot of money, so we found the cheapest hotel we could find in the area. Now, this isn't an exaggeration when I say this is the kind of place that they film like the shootout scenes in crime movies. It was like just a very rundown place. It was $39 a night for a room. And so we went there. None of us took our shoes off the whole time, like even in our room. Like it was just like, no, we keep the shoes on. This place is kind of... And we slept there for the night. We got back to the beach house the next day, and the fleas seemed to be gone. They seemed to be at least at bay, if not all dead. And so for the next few days, we enjoyed some amazing time with friends. Laughter, good food, walking along the beach, just relaxing and resting and having a really great time. And it took a lot of effort to make that vacation happen. It took a lot of effort to enter that rest and relaxation. But once we did, it was worth it. Now, a couple weeks ago, Joel began to talk to us about this idea of the Sabbath. And he shared with us this scripture in the book of Hebrews that says, make every effort to enter that rest, the Sabbath rest that still remains for God's people. And then this last week, Pastor Stephen, he talked to us about this idea of, he began to paint a picture of the beauty the Sabbath can be, of this ability to create rest in our schedule the same way that we would find rest in a piece of music. It actually makes it more beautiful. It makes it more compelling. Now, some of you might be saying, you know, you guys have been talking about rest for so long. And I get that we have, but there's a reason to that. We as Americans are so terrible at rest. And we have to confront that issue. And the same way that we prepare for a vacation, maybe is the same kind of level of energy we need to prepare for a Sabbath rest on a weekly basis. And so some of you, though, you've been asking us, okay, I think I understand what you guys are trying to tell us about the Sabbath. When am I supposed to do it? How does it work? Is there a way to do it, and is there a way to not do it? Like, is there a way that would please God more and a way that would displease him? And so this week, I actually want to talk to you about a lot of the practical aspects of what the Sabbath is, how we can actually practice it in our own lives, and actually what it can really look like what a Sabbath day can actually look like. Now, have you ever seen the movie Groundhog Day? It's a movie from the early 90s, a Bill Murray classic. And fun fact for you, actually, I used to live 20 minutes away from the town where it was filmed. It was filmed in Woodstock, Illinois. And we used to go there and hang out. But the movie itself, if you haven't seen it, it's a hilarious movie about this guy who goes out to cover Groundhog Day. He's a news reporter. He's got a bad attitude about it. And then fates, I guess, decide that he is going to live the same day over and over and over again until he's learned his lesson. And I don't know about you, but I've definitely felt that way sometimes. Like, there's been times in my life where I feel like I'm just living the same day over and over and over again. And, you know, it's like these containers here. We've got seven containers here representing 7 days of the week. And a lot of times our weeks, especially lately, like, man, as we've been cooped up in our houses, some weeks just feel like a really long day. Some months feel like a long week. It's just every day is just like the one before. And sometimes our lives fall into those kind of rhythms. It's like every single day just feels like it's filled with all of the same stuff, all of the same issues, the same people, the same problems, the same hopes and longings and desires that are unfulfilled, the same things we complain about. And so often our lives can feel just like the movie Groundhog Day. It's just the same day over and over and over again. But when we talk about this idea of Sabbath, it's this idea that there is one of these days that is meant to be different. And this day, it can be this different day. And so it's this day where we say, you know what? We can dump all that out and say, this day is going to be different. But I don't want to stand here and act as if I'm some kind of an expert on the Sabbath, and like the rest of you have no idea what we're talking about. My relationship with the Sabbath is actually pretty long and complicated. When I first was introduced to this idea of the Sabbath, I was actually I'd just become a believer. I was 15, maybe 16 years old, and I was working at this car wash. And I had read in the Old Testament that we were supposed to practice the Sabbath and we're not supposed to work. That's all I knew. And I didn't know what else to measure that against. So I came up to my boss at the car wash right in front of everybody. And I said, hey, I was reading my Bible and it says that you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. So, and in my limited understanding, to me, the Sabbath had to have been Sunday. So I just said, so, hey, I can't come in on Sundays anymore. And just to let you know, I looked it up and you can't tell me no, because it's for religious reasons. It's like, what kind of kid? But that's exactly what I did. And my boss just kind of chuckled and was like, okay, well, you don't have to come in on Sundays anymore. And I was like, all right, good. And I felt like I had won this small victory. And maybe some ways I had, but that began my relationship with this idea of the Sabbath. And then for the next few years, I tried to learn what it meant to actually practice it. And at first, I really thought it was meant to be this day of nothing, like where nothing happens. You can't work. And in my mind, I'm like, well, doesn't everything take work? And so some days I would even fast almost the whole Sabbath because I felt like eating was work. And this was part of what the Pharisees were confronted by when they talked to Jesus, that he's like, you know, you're making this a day of just rule following. But, you know, I didn't fully have that understanding. And so honestly, I would go to church and then I would come home and I would just sit in my room. And I kid you not, sometimes I'd literally just sit there listening to Gregorian chants, thinking that that is what it meant to practice the Sabbath. And some of you are starting to think, man, this guy's teenage years were real different. But I was trying to figure this stuff out. And it wasn't easy. And sometimes I'd invite my friends to come and participate in Sabbath with me. They usually didn't come a second time. Because it was long and awkward and boring and kind of weird. And honestly, if I had to admit it, I would have said, yeah, it is all of those things. But at the time, I thought it was what I was supposed to be doing. And the truth is, though, in that time, whenever there was somebody who disagreed with my idea of what the Sabbath was meant to be, or anybody who just didn't practice the Sabbath, actually, I would judge them. And, you know, not just like a little bit, like I thought I was more spiritual than those people. And I thought that they were bringing judgment upon themselves by not following the rule and the practice of the Sabbath. But Pastor Stephen shared some verses last week, and they're the very same verses that when I was younger, they set me free from my own self-righteousness. And that first scripture we find in the book of Romans. And so what we find is that in the early church, this question of the Sabbath had to have come up quite often because Paul addressed it multiple times with multiple churches that he had planted. And so in Romans 14, it tells us this: one person considers one day more sacred than another, and another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. And so we see this, I mean, clearly already, we see the point that Paul is making here. It's like, oh, okay, I guess to consider one day more special than the others, and I guess some people can treat every day the same. So Paul says that here, and I want you to see what he says later on, because in this whole chapter, just as a theological disclaimer, he doesn't just talk about the Sabbath here. He talks about lots of Jewish practice, but we're focusing on Sabbath today, and so I want to focus on that aspect of this passage. But he talks about how we shouldn't pass judgment on one another then. And then in verse 19, he says this: let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. And then in verse 22, so whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. So Paul's kind of, I mean, he's kind of taking a couple shots here, it feels like. He's like, hey, you know, it's kind of like that moment when you're singing a song and someone goes, hey, who sings that? And you say the name of the band and they go, well, let's keep it that way. Paul's kind of like, hey, you guys know all these opinions you have about the Sabbath and these other things. Well, keep them to yourself. It's between you and God. And it's the same way that Paul talks about giving, that there's these things that we actually get to have as part of our worship of God, but we don't have to impose that worship on other people. And then the Colossian church must have been asking similar questions, because then Paul felt the need to address this with the Colossian church. And with the Colossian church, he was pretty straightforward about it. In Colossians 2:16, he says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. So let no one judge you on the basis of any of these things. You know, at that time in church history, there were people who were going around and they were teaching the churches, like they would come after the church had been planted by somebody like Paul, and then they would come in and teach those Christians, those believers, that to fully follow Jesus, they also still needed to practice the Old Testament law, to fulfill the Old Covenant. And so Paul was really big on correcting that error and making sure that they understood that there's nothing they could do to add to their own righteousness. That's not what we're talking about here. And so he says, hey, don't let anybody judge you based on a Sabbath practice. And if you remember, a verse that we've looked at multiple times throughout this series helps us to remember the whole basis of what we're talking about. Because you remember, we're talking about sitting. We're talking about resting in the finished work of Jesus. And so when Paul was writing to the Ephesian church, this is what he told them. See, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Not by works, so that no one can boast. We've been talking about this idea that Christianity doesn't begin with a big do, but with a big done. It's not about all this stuff that you have to now go do. It's about what Jesus has already done. We sit in the finished work of Jesus. That's where we rest. And so what Paul is trying to share with the churches here is don't believe that any practice that you can instill in your life would somehow add to your own righteousness. Because if it's by grace that we've been saved, if that's the gift of God, then that means anything that comes after that is also the gift of God, is also His grace. So our sanctification, our ability to enter spiritual practices, these things are all a gift of God, and they are part of His grace. And I love how Paul sums it up with the Galatian church. They also had been visited by some of these people who were teaching that they needed to be following the law. And in Galatians 5:1, Paul simply says, "It is for freedom's sake that Christ has set us free." That the reason Jesus set us free is because He wants us to be free. Imagine that. And so in the kingdom of God, we have absolute freedom. That the only law in the kingdom of God is the law of love. And so when it comes to a Sabbath, we can't be judged on Sabbath practice. Like we can practice the Sabbath how we see fit, how we feel led. One thing we cannot do is to judge other people based on how they are practicing or not practicing the Sabbath. And we all have that freedom in the kingdom of God. But before you make any decisions about the Sabbath, as one of your pastors, I just wanted to take a little bit of time to talk to you about what a Sabbath practice could look like in your life. And it kind of comes down to three things. If you were to practice the Sabbath, you'd want to ask yourself three questions. The first question would be, what is it that I could stop? What can I stop? Because the word Sabbath comes from a Hebrew word, Shabbat. And that word Shabbat means to cease or to stop and to rest. So what is it that you could stop doing so that you could rest for a day? Maybe it's making sure that you don't check your emails for a day. Maybe it's not bringing certain projects from work home with you so that on your day of rest, you don't have to worry about that. But maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. And you're saying, I don't know how this day is supposed to, you know, it really does feel like every day is the same. How is this day supposed to be any different? And maybe you have to be able to get out of the house. See, as a family, this actually, if you live with family, this is something you work out together. You figure out what it looks like to celebrate Sabbath together, that all of you are able to rest together. And so what could you stop? Another question you can ask is, what will help me rest? You know, so what are the things that you could do on a Sabbath day that would really actually help you rest? Because that answer is not the same for every person. And to maybe help us think through what some of that could look like, a third question is, what could I welcome? Like, what do I need to invite into the Sabbath? I know what maybe I need to take out of that day and make sure that that's something that happens on the other 6 days of the week. But what could I put into this day? Because again, there was a season in my life where I felt like the Sabbath had to be this empty day where nothing could happen. And that couldn't be further from the truth. I was talking to somebody just this week and she said, when you guys started preaching about Sabbath, one of my first thoughts was like, well, great, now I can't go boating on the day that I practice Sabbath. And I was like, of course you can. Like, does it feel like work to you? And she was like, no. I'm like, is it restful? She's like, yeah, I enjoy it. I said, well, then of course you can do it. So what are the things that we could welcome into the Sabbath? And I've got my box of fun right here. And in my box of fun, I've got all sorts of ideas on what it could look like to practice the Sabbath. I know families that they actually take a candle and they light a candle at the beginning of their Sabbath practice. And it's a way for them to kind of symbolize this beginning of this day of rest. And so you could bring in imagery and things like that to help you celebrate and enjoy your Sabbath practice. For some of us, it could be a really good idea to take communion together as a family. And these are fake toys, but they do represent, wine or juice and some bread. And on that note, it could be a day that you enjoy some really good food together as well. And so communion and feasting together could be a way that you help bring in and celebrate that Sabbath practice. Of course, reading the scripture is a great way to spend some time with God because the Sabbath is a day of being, to be with God and to be with others. And so a great way to do that is to read some scripture. Now, do you need to read like four books of the Bible to fulfill a good Sabbath? Well, no, like just find some passages that would really help you to connect with God and be with him in that time. And so I think, of course, scripture reading is a big piece of that. But for me, I love to read other books as well. And I read a lot of ministry and leadership books, but on Sabbath days, I don't, because that would feel like work to me. Maybe for others it wouldn't, but for me it would. And so I pick up a book like Travels with Charlie by John Steinbeck, and I just read it just for pleasure, just for fun, just to rest and enjoy some time of, getting into somebody else's world and thinking a little differently. And so, you could read all sorts of stuff. Maybe it's a day, like maybe you're one of those people that you've got a really strict diet you follow, or you just try to eat healthy throughout the week. Well, maybe there'd be, some people call it a cheat day. Maybe your Sabbath day could be that kind of cheat day where you pull out the hot cocoa and you say, it says that 2 to 3 scoops. Now I'm going to do 6 or 7, and I'm going to make this the best cup of hot cocoa I've had in a while. And so maybe that's a way that you practice it. For some people, it would be picking up the phone and calling some family or friends that you haven't connected with in a long time. But maybe it's not picking up the phone to engage with social media. So you got to think about those things. What do you need to stop so that you can welcome something else? And so maybe those days you only pick up the phone so that you could call somebody or maybe FaceTime them and see how they're doing. Because the Sabbath is a great day to connect with family and friends, especially maybe some of those that we haven't seen in a while. For some of us, maybe we would want to pursue something that feels very restful and life-giving and that we enjoy. Like some of you, you're painters. You'd want to pick up that paintbrush. Or maybe you're somebody who likes to sketch. Or maybe you're a musician and you'd want to pick up an instrument. Maybe there's just something that you could do that would really make it an enjoyable day for you. There's a few other things. You could listen to some great music. This is a Switchfoot album, one of my favorite albums. You could get outside. This is a golf ball. Maybe you could go play around. Like for me, that wouldn't feel like work at all. I also love to watch golf. That doesn't feel like work to me either. And for some of you, you probably hate golf, but maybe there's some other activity that you love to do, to get outside, to get in nature, go hiking, go golfing, go boating, whatever it might be. But maybe there's something you could do that would be outside and it would be a fun activity for you and or your family. And that can include things like gardening. You get out the gardening gloves and you say, I'm going to get out in the garden. For me, that feels like work. But for you, it might not. And so is that something you need to welcome so that you can enjoy the Sabbath practice? And so there's these things that we can put into our Sabbath day. And it makes it this fun day that's filled to the brim, filled overflowing with things that we can do, things that we can enjoy, things that we can welcome in. It's this day, actually one of our pastors, Peter Leschke, the other day he said, to me, the Sabbath is this day that you can just really enjoy a taste of heaven throughout the entire day. And I said, Peter, I'm going to steal that because that's really good. Like it's this day that's like this taste of heaven. I told you about that vacation that my wife and I went on. Well, what if every week we could have this day that kind of feels like a vacation every week? A day where we just get to rest and be rejuvenated, to connect with others, to feast with others, to laugh, to have fun. And so the Sabbath truly can be all of those things. And so you might be asking, okay, that's great, but when am I able to practice it? Like you still haven't told us what day we're supposed to do it on. But again, as the Apostle Paul said, that's something that you get to figure out between yourself and God. When we practice the Sabbath, it could be that day. It could be this day. Like you have to ask yourself, what works for you and your family? Because you have freedom to figure that out. You have the freedom to decide what this day is going to be and when you're going to practice it. Now, I will let you know that we have developed as a church a Sabbath worksheet, a little discovery sheet that we've put together. You can find that on our website at christtherock.org, and you can also find that on our Facebook page. And that's something you can download and you can do by yourself, or if you live with your family, I would encourage that you all do that together. But this is something that you and God get to figure out. And I find a sense of adventure in that. I find a sense of wonder and discovery in that, that there's these things that God has now allowed to become this gift and this treasure that we get to discover and enjoy. And so I encourage you to go on, find that worksheet, do the study questions. That will help you as well to really dive down deep and figure out what your relationship with the Sabbath could look like. And so whether you choose to practice the Sabbath or not, that is between you and God. And I trust that each and every one of us will take the time to pray and be led by the Spirit to see what that invitation could look like for each of us. So may you find the gift of rest. Whatever you do, whether you practice this or not, may you find the rest that Jesus is so desperately longing to give you. May you find rest for your souls. May you enjoy times with the Holy Spirit. May you enjoy time with friends and family and loved ones. And may you find time to be able to rest and enjoy things that God has given you to enjoy. May you find time to stop your striving, to cease from all the activity. And may you enjoy the presence of God as you do. Father, we thank you that you offer us these gifts in your good grace. Lord, not just Sabbath, but so many other ways that we get to connect with you and enjoy your rest. And so I pray, Lord, that for each and every one of us, that we would take the time to pray and see what it would look like for us to practice the Sabbath in our own lives. May we see it as a beautiful gift that we get to invite into our lives. Lord, that it's a blessing and not a burden. Lord, it's a day where we can really be reminded that we're human beings and not human doings. And so I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our church, what you're doing in our hearts, what you're doing in our lives. And may we be the light that this world so desperately needs. We thank you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.